Vaughan Williams, music by fellow British composers William Walton and Michael Tippett. Radio 3 live in concert, weeknights at 7:30 and online afterwards through the Radio 3 website.
Hello, I'm John Shea. Welcome to this Saturday afternoon on BBC Radio 3, music from Notre Dame Cathedral in a couple of minutes in the early music show. Elizabeth Leonskaya's piano recital from last Monday gets another airing at 2 o'clock. The violinist Daniel Hope is our Saturday Classics host at 3. And then opera on 3 at 5 o'clock is Handel's Julius Caesar live from the Met in New York. Now, though, with the time just after 1 o'clock, the BBC Radio 3 news. Boeing's flagship aircraft, the Dreamliner, has made its first passenger flight since the entire fleet was grounded in January because of problems with the batteries. An Ethiopian Airlines Dreamliner made a two-hour flight from Addis Ababa to Nairobi in Kenya. Police in Bangladesh investigating the collapse of an eight-storey building in Dhaka have arrested five people. Two engineers involved in the design, along with the owners of two clothes factories, are among those under investigation. More than 300 people are known to have died. The Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has suggested that the conflict in Syria is fueling sectarian strife in his own country. More than 200 people have died during the worst week of violence in Iraq since the withdrawal of US troops 2 years ago. For the fourth weekend in a row, drop-in clinics for MMR vaccinations are opened in South Wales as part of efforts to stem the measles outbreak. The new head of the UK Faculty of Public Health, Professor John Ashton, has expressed particular concern about private schools, which he says don't appear to have a coherent approach to ensuring that pupils are vaccinated. West Yorkshire Police have released the name of the woman who died when her minibus was in a collision with a lorry on the M62 yesterday. Bethany Jones, who was 18 and from Pontefract, was one of 21 passengers on the way to a hen party. Another eight passengers remain in a serious but stable condition in hospital. The American government has accused the Swiss drugs giant Novartis of giving improper incentives to doctors to persuade them to prescribe certain medicines. It's filed a civil court case in New York, saying that the company paid for fishing trips and meals at expensive restaurants to boost sales. Novartis says promotional programs to inform doctors about treatments are accepted practice within the industry. And the weather. It'll be mostly cloudy with sunny spells. There'll be light showers in parts of central and southern England and Wales during the afternoon. Tonight will be clear and dry in England and Wales, with some cloud in Scotland and Northern Ireland. And that's the news and weather on BBC Radio 3 at exactly 3 minutes past one. Now, it's time to join Catherine Bott for today's early music show.
Thank you. O royal grace, which took the form of the servant, and at no cost gave heaven to the ungrateful, forgiveness to the guilty. Carmina Gallica, directed by Antoine Gerber, with Dum Medium by Philippe le Chancelier, Philip the Chancellor. He was an early eminence of Our Lady of Paris, Notre Dame Cathedral, the first brick of which was laid 850 years ago this year. In celebration, I'm going back to the remarkable beginnings of music in the cathedral. We need to retrace our steps even further to before that first cornerstone was laid, to the 11th and early 12th centuries, and first to another great name associated with the place, Pierre Abélard. It's no exaggeration to say that Abélard was one of the greatest minds of the entire Middle Ages. His brilliance seems to have been matched by arrogance and pugnacity, but his gifts as a teacher made him famous, not just in Paris, but all over Europe. His later fame lies largely in the cruel ending of his illicit love affair with his pupil, Héloïse. But when he taught at the cathedral school, it was his poetry and music for which he was renowned. Hardly any of his musical compositions have survived, but this has. O Quanta Qualia, a hymn to the never-ending joy of Sabbath celebrations in heaven.
O Quanta Qualia, sunt illa sabbata, quae semper celebra super alma curia, quae fecis requies, quae mentes
Sabbatum,
The Ensemble für Frühe Musik Augsburg with the hymn O Quanta Qualia by Pierre Abélard, Parisian scholar and poet at the dawn of the 12th century. Abélard died, long departed from Paris, in 1142. By the year 1160, the cathedral as it stood was deemed unworthy of the city's international fame and demolished. Although this denigration was possibly unfair, Bishop Maurice de Sully was determined to begin a glorious new edifice. The foundation stone was laid in 1163. No concrete pillars, prefabrication or penalty clauses in those days. The construction works lasted for more than 80 years, and Bishop Maurice didn't live to see the famous Western Towers and Rose Window completed. But during that time, the cathedral became one of the major centres of Western polyphony, nowadays called the Notre Dame School. Before the next music, I have the challenge of summing up the achievements of this Notre Dame School concisely as well as clearly. Q&A time, I think. This is me talking to myself. What was the Notre Dame School of Polyphony? The term refers to a group of composers working there as it rose into the sky. Who were they? Only two real names, I'm afraid, Léonin and Perrotin. And we have their names mainly because of an anonymous English monk from Bury St. Edmunds, known as Anonymous IV, because that's the title given to his own manuscript when it was published in the 19th century. What did Anonymous IV say about Leoninus and Perrotinus, as we can also call them? Well, he wasn't a contemporary of theirs, but he described them as having been the best composers of organum, and between them, compilers of the Magnus Liber Organi, the big book of organum. Actually, I believe Léonin can take most of the credit for that. Remind me, what is organum? It's plain chant with an added voice or voices supplying a sort of harmony. The first part, notated, is called the vox principalis, principal voice. If two voices sing the same line, a fourth or fifth apart, that's parallel organum. Or the second singer can invent a vox organalis, organ voice. It's not exactly a bass line, but that's what it evolved into. Musicians like Léonin and Perrotin were among the earliest people to write down and formalise what had usually been improvised. And Perrotin was the first composer of organum quadruplum, four-voice polyphony, or at any rate, the first whose stuff has come down to us. So, how important is the Notre Dame School in music history? Very. Polyphonic music, music in several parts, is at the heart of sacred music over centuries. Thank you. I knew that, really, just checking that you did. That's the end of the Q&A. Let's go on. The Big Book of Organum contains a cycle of two-part settings of the most important chants in the liturgical year, the chants that would always be heard at Christmas, Easter, the Assumption, other big feasts. Let's hear music by Léonin now, from the Mass on the Finding of the Holy Cross. This is Alleluia, Dulce Lignum, Dulcis Clavos, sweet wood, sweet nails, bearing sweet burdens.
Ooh.
Redbird, John Potter and Richard Wistreich with Capella Amsterdam in music from early 12th century Paris by Léonin. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, and this programme is also available as a download. We do have a couple of biographical details about Léonin. In later life, he was a canon of Notre Dame and wrote Neo-Ovidian homoerotic poetry, thanks to Redbird for that snippet, by the way. And it's only fair to say that one school of thought says that the name Léonin could cover a multitude of musicians. Back to the Notre Dame construction timeline. Those western towers and the rose window were completed in 1250, and over another 100 years the building was filled with the most uplifting examples of sacred art. Léonin and Perrotin would not have seen all these wonders, from gargoyles to flying buttresses, in their finished glory, but they must have been aware that Notre Dame was becoming one of the greatest Gothic buildings in Christendom. The consensus about Léonin and Perrotin seems to be that Léonin, whether that stands for one man or many, came first and Perrotin later. Perhaps he too was a collective, but Anonymous Four seems to have gathered that he rewrote a fair amount of that big book of Organum. Just as Léonin's development of two-part organum was a technical advance on single-line chant, this next music takes things further into three parts, which move together through the syllables of the text. The hymn Veni Creator Spiritus, Come Creator Spirit, is sung by the Hilliard Ensemble.
Oh,
The Hilliard Ensemble with music in three parts, sounding more urgent, more modern. I can't say with total certainty that it's by Perrotin rather than Anon, however. Let's have a piece of music that is confirmed as Perrotin's. And this is a further development in four parts. Before we hear it, though, a last word from Anonymous Four. Master Perrotin made the best quadrupla, such as Viderunt and Sederunt, with an abundance of striking musical embellishments. The books of Perrotin were in use at the choir of the Paris Cathedral of the Blessed Virgin up to the present day. Viderunt omnes fines terrae salutare Dei nostri jubilate Deo omnis terra. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. This, even to 21st century ears, is an astonishingly bold piece of thanksgiving, a spare, gaunt sort of joy. Listen to the top voices snaking along the musical lines while the bottom holds still on the keynote. And especially note that the singers don't move on from the opening syllable of the first word, V, for a minute and a quarter, and they continue in the same way the five syllables of the first two words, Viderunt omnes, last for more than 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Music for Notre-Dame de Paris. Tonus Peregrinus singing Perrotin's Viderunt Omnes. This exceptional liturgical music grew in tandem with the great cathedral which housed it. Unusually, all the music in today's programme, apart from the music of Philip the Chancellor, with which we began, has been sung by unaccompanied voices. A discussion of the use of the church or cathedral organ in medieval times could make a whole early music show on its own, I suspect. Léonin and Perrotin would probably have known and used small instruments in the choir. The first large-scale organ wasn't installed until the 14th century, and the wondrous machine that's in the cathedral now is mainly 18th century, a survivor of the Revolution that still contains a few medieval pipes, apparently. However many composers they truly represent, the names Léonin and Perrotin testify to the fact that from its earliest days, the music of Notre-Dame de Paris helped to define and shape what was to come in religious music across Europe and across the centuries. So, to split the difference between our time and that of Léonin, we'll end with a work for voice, this time with organ and viola da gamba, from another great era of French music, the late 17th century. André Campra was maître de chapelle at Notre-Dame from 1694. Paul Agnew sings his setting of Salve Regina, accompanied by gambist Anne-Marie Lasla and organist William Christie.
Nos converti
André Campra's setting of the Salve Regina, sung by Paul Agnew with members of Les Arts Florissants under the direction of William Christie. And that ends today's Early Music Show, which was presented by Catherine Bott and produced in Salford by Sam Phillips. And indeed, André Campra, the so-called Rebel of Notre Dame, is the subject of tomorrow's Early Music Show. Catherine is back at the same time, just after the 1 o'clock news.
My name's Mark Ravenhill and I'm a playwright. I've always listened to radio drama since I was a child and been excited by that possibility of sitting in the dark or sitting in the car and suddenly finding yourself in a new place, a new world in your head.
For BBC Radio 3's Drama on 3, Mark Ravenhill curates a season of three plays by some of his favourite playwrights.
I wanted to find plays that each took you to a very specific world. And I also chose three plays that I'd never seen in the theatre before, plays that I've read time and time again and wished that somebody would do a production of.
Drama on 3, curated by Mark Ravenhill, starting with Light Shining in Buckinghamshire, tomorrow night at 8:30.
Well, back to this Saturday afternoon on BBC Radio 3 and the violinist Daniel Hope as our Saturday Classics host in an hour from now at 3 o'clock. Now, though, at a little after two, another chance to hear last Monday's lunchtime recital from the Wigmore Hall, given by the pianist Elizabeth Leonskaya, and she dedicated this concert to the memory of Sir Colin Davis, with whom she worked just last November. For the recital, Elizabeth Leonskaya chose works by three 19th-century composers, Liszt, Tchaikovsky, and first Schumann, his Papillon, Opus 2. Papillon consists of a brief introduction and 12 short pieces. The title, of course, means butterflies, and Schumann, describes them as essentially a series of miniatures with quick changes and motley colours, so that the listener still has the previous page in his head while the player has already finished. Those mercurial changes of mood capture the twin personas that Schumann created for himself, Eusebius, the extrovert, passionate, flamboyant and bold, and Florestan, the poetic dreamer.